Well, good morning. Today, just looking back on some of the messages that I've brought over the last year. Don't know whether you can remember the first one was using the two jars. I like illustrations, filling it up with water, and one was red with sin, and then Jesus enters in. That was the one. The second one was, I used a Hebrew word called shema, which means to listen and do, or to hear and obey. That's a word I want you to keep in your heart today as we go on with this word, shema. Hear and obey, listen and do. The third was do not fear. And if you've noticed, there's three of us, got the same t-shirts on today. Praise the Lord. Faith over fear. That was about Goliath, and we used Pastor as Saul because he was about the right size for Saul. And we used the little kids. I don't quite remember who it was. One of the little kids for David. And Goliath was as big as this bottom of this cross. Massive. And that was the difference. And fear's a terrible thing, you know, if you've heard the saying before, 365 times or something like that in the Bible that Jesus says, do not fear. One for each day. You know, and he says, faith. Have faith to overcome. If you have faith as a mustard seed, no need to fear anything. We have the master on our side. He's already won the victory. That was the third one. The fourth one was the last one, I think, was Joel. When God's asking us, that he said he was going to restore the years that the locusts have destroyed. But to do that, he wanted us to rend our hearts, not our garments. He wanted our heart to be one with his. So keep those in mind as we go on today. And so today, I just want to talk about how God formed man. And it connects with the potter's house as well. And there's some more Hebrew words, which I find very interesting, because I've never, ever preached on, you know, the potter. I've heard about it. I've listened to sermons. I've done intense courses on how they do pottery. And when you study it yourself, God speaks to you differently. And I want to encourage you today, study the Word of God, because that's how God will speak to you, guide you and direct you. I've heard about the potter's house, I've heard about the potter and how he does the clay, and I've heard sermons and sermons on it, but I've never preached it. So this morning we're going to just touch on that a little bit, because it involves a lot of things that I want to talk about. And the Hebrew word for ground or soil or clay, earth, is Adamah, A-D-A-M-A-H, Adamah. That's the Hebrew word, and it means ground. And notice in there that the word Adam is in, and that's where it gets its root. The word Adam means man. Adam was the first man taken from the earth. It's rooted in Adamah. It's even connected with the word Adom, which is A-D-O-M, which means red. And I found that very interesting, that all these words were connected. So it suggests that Adam was formed from a red soil, a red clay, vibrant and alive in the hands of God. What makes clay red? That was my next question. What makes it red? What gives it its colour? Iron oxide. Iron that's been oxidized in the soil. It gives it its red colour. The connection here is the veins, the blood that runs through our veins. What gives it its colour? Hemoglobin is a protein in the blood cells that contains iron. I think that's right, isn't it, Rachel? You are nodding. Thank you, Jesus. Contains iron. And what it does, it mixes with oxygen that we breathe in. And that is what gives it its colour. So the oxygen that we breathe in from our lungs gives it its colour, and it takes it to every part of our body. And it gives us life. There's no coincidence with God, because that's exactly why Jesus came. to shed his blood for us, to redeem us to back where we was in the garden. So that brings us to Jeremiah 18. Maybe even the potter had terracotta clay on his wheel when Jeremiah visited the house. Who knows? God, the creator who formed man, told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. By the way, the word formed in Genesis is the same word used here in Jeremiah. It's called yatzah, to fashion, to create, or to mould. And that's the same word that God used in the garden when he formed man. He took man from the soil and he formed him. And that word is the same word used at Jeremiah. He saw that the vessels were marred, so the potter reworked it to make it into something else that would bring glory to God. The way clay is prepared for the wheel. This is the interesting bit. This is why I've got a bat. Now, I never knew that the clay, I've had to put it in here because this is moulding clay, it's not pottery clay. And it's a bit messy and sticky, so I've wrapped it up. But what they do with clay when they start to work it is they bash it, they squeeze it, they push it, squeeze it, roll it. I'm going to need two hands. They do all this and knead it like dough. And that's what it is. Just imagine you being clay in the potter's hands. God sometimes uses that illustration is how we walk with him on a daily basis. He squashes, he squeezes, he's preparing us to be put onto the wheel. I wonder, when he's doing this to you, how do you feel when God's pressing? When God's allowing you to be battered? When God's shaping you, ready to get you into a position to cast you onto the wheel? God sometimes uses tragedy to bring you to him. I always remember when Jin's father died. She went to church, took our little daughter, and that's how she became a Christian. 2 years later, I come to church, and that's how I become a Christian. God uses tragedy. God uses things in our lives to move us closer to him. The next process of that is, it puts you on a wheel. And he puts you in the centre of the wheel. If you miss the mark, he takes you off and he puts you back in. And then his hands start to work. He adds water to soften the hardness. Then just when you think it's about to form you into a beautiful, beautiful vase, he begins to stretch. The potter stretches the clay. It's on a wheel and raises it right the way up. So he stretches you again when you think you're good. Then he presses you all the way back down to the bottom again. You know, and you think you're going to be made into this beautiful vessel, but he's pressing you down. He's stretching you and pressing you. That's a bit like what he does in our life. He presses and he stretches us to make us into a perfect vessel. He's getting rid of all the rough edges out of our lives as he's doing this. Then the important bit comes. Because when you're on the wheel and he's spinning around fast, the potter adds a little bit of water just to soften it enough so it's more supple. And you know, God promised us the Holy Spirit when he went up into heaven. And he sent us down the Holy Spirit, representing that water in our lives. He softens our hearts from the inside. He adds water, and then he starts to press. Have you ever been stretched to your limits? Jesus stretches you to your limits. Do you still allow him to work? It's not over, even in the stretching, because when he, the potter, has stretched the clay again into that tower, he presses himself down. And it's still not over. Now he gets to work. He adds the water, softens it again. Then the most important bit, the potter starts to form the vessel. And he starts from the center of the clay, from the heart. You see, when that wheel's going round and he's stretching and pressing it down, it impresses it in the middle. And he starts to work it right from the center of the clay. And he molds it, shapes it. But he's doing all that from the center. He wants to start with your heart. The potter forms a vessel from the inside. He puts his hands right into it, right inside the center of the clay. And he shapes it from the inside out. It brings to mind the Pharisees when Jesus was looking, they cleaned the outside of the vessel and they left the inside dirty. This is why God works from the inside. He pours in the Holy Spirit. He wants our hearts. Paul models the heart posture of a true disciple in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. For this reason, he says, I bow the knee. Bowing is an act of submission, recognizing that God is a just teacher, but Lord, not just a teacher, but Lord of all creation. When we call Jesus Lord, we are bowing not just in words, but in life. I want to look at one man in particular. I'll come down here for this. The Bible, there's one man in the Bible that gives an example of not allowing the master to finish his work. And he left the wheel. He loved the teachings of God, but loved the environment. He was in awe of the. I've got my glasses here. I want to look at one man in the Bible as an example of not allowing the master to finish. It's easy when you can see the words, isn't it? How to finish his work. He loved the teachings of God. He loved the environment. He was in awe of the miracles. Yet he never accepted him as Lord. Amazing. How can you look at the miracles and walk with Jesus and not accept him as Lord? So what went wrong? Let's look at what the Bible reveals and what it means for us. In John 13:13, Jesus says to his disciples, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." Jesus intentionally used both titles, teacher and Lord, Rabbi Adonai. Not one or the other, he used both. Teacher is one who gives wisdom, guidance, and instruction. And Lord is one who has authority, ownership, and demands obedience. Jesus makes it clear, if we truly follow him, we must accept both roles. He is not just a voice to listen to, he is a life to follow and obey. He doesn't just inform us, he leads us. And that's where that word Shema comes in. Hear and obey, listen and do. And here's the thing, Judas called him teacher. But never once in Scripture does Judas call him Lord. That's not a minor detail. That's a diagnosis of the soul. Judas saw the miracles, what Jesus was doing, went about with the disciples. I can't understand why he never called him Lord. He was a servant, he was a disciple, but not a servant. Judas was one of the 12. He travelled with Jesus, served as treasurer of the group, and witnessed the same miracles the others saw. But someone along the line stopped letting, somewhere along the line, he stopped letting Jesus shape him. Do we ever do that? Do we ever want to jump ship? Do we ever not like the words that we see in the Bible and we think, I can't stand this. No, this ain't right, I'm going. It's not for me. That's what Judas did. He may have admired the teacher, but he resisted the Lord. In Matthew 26, 25, at the Last Supper, when Jesus said one of them would betray him, each disciple asked him, surely not I, Lord. Peter says, surely not I. John, it's not I, is it, Lord? And then we come to Judas, and he says, surely not I, Rabbi. Rabbi meaning teacher. Do you see that? All the others say Lord, but Judas says Rabbi to Jesus. Jesus was only a teacher, someone to learn from, not to surrender to. That's a warning for us as individuals. And I've had to search my heart. We can call him Lord, Lord as we sing, but and we in obedience to him each and every day. It's possible to sit under Jesus' teaching, to hear his words, even to be close to his people, and still not let him be Lord over your life. Some people just like the environment of being in church. Some people like because everybody's kind, gentle, soft, meek. But that doesn't get you into heaven. That's not what Jesus is looking for. Jesus is looking for you to be obedient in all things. Earlier we talked about how we like clay in the hands of God. But clay that refuses to be shaped becomes useless, hard. It becomes hard and it resists. I wonder if Judas was on the wheel and he didn't like being in the centre and he just kept moving off to the side, missing the mark. And Jesus having to force that back into the centre and he was being resistant until all the water ran out and it became hard. I don't know. It's just an illustration. Judas hardened his heart. He had ideas about what Jesus should do, perhaps expecting a political revolution, perhaps disappointed in Jesus' meekness and mercy. And the Jews are still looking for that political leader to come. They missed it when Jesus came. They wanted their leader, their king, to take and kick out the Romans in that area, in that time. Rather than letting the teacher correct him or letting the Lord rule him, Judas clung to his own agenda. And I think that's the danger when we want Jesus on our terms, not his. Jesus is a good teacher, but he's not always a comfortable one. In John 6, when Jesus teaches that he's the bread of life and that people must eat his flesh and drink his blood, many disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Many walked away. But that's what we've done this morning. We've eaten the body of Christ and we've drunk the blood of Christ this morning. Judas didn't leave then, but maybe something in him did. He may have kept calling Jesus a rabbi, but his heart was slipping further from the lordship of Christ. Eventually, that gap widened into betrayal. Teacher and Lord, your decision. So here's the challenge for us. Is Jesus just your teacher today? Do you admire his words, quote his sayings, listen to sermons, but still reserve the final authority for yourself? Or is Jesus your Lord? Do you obey him when it's hard? Trust him when it's confusing, Let him shape your thoughts and actions and desires. We all face that choice, just like Judas did. Because partial surrender is disobedience. Jesus is not looking for students. He's calling disciples who trust, follow, and obey. Just reminded me of Scripture in Revelation. Revelation 3, when the lukewarm Christians, the lukewarm church in Revelation, says that Jesus will spit you out because you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. You're neither here or there. It's like you've not really decided to follow God fully. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then he realized what he had done. He was filled with regret. And I'm sure we feel that way sometimes when we've done something wrong, we feel regretful. But he didn't return to the Lord. He returned to the temple, to the religion system. He threw the money back. He didn't throw himself on the mercy of Christ. Imagine what could have happened if Judas had fallen at Jesus' feet and said, "Lord, forgive me." Another disciple, Peter, he denied Jesus too. But Peter returned broken and humble, and Jesus restored him. Not as a student, but as a shepherd, a leader, a new man. What a contrast in the two. That's the difference. Peter accepted Jesus as Lord. Judas kept him as a teacher. Conclusion then. Short message today. Let the teacher be your Lord. Who is Jesus to you? If he's only your teacher, you'll respect him, but resist him. You'll hear the truth, but won't be changed by it. You'll stay close, but never fully surrender. But if he's your Lord, you will trust him when it hurts, follow him when it's confusing, and let him shape you like clay in the hands of the potter. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Don't let your story be like Judas. Close to Jesus in proximity, but far away from him in surrender. Let Jesus be your teacher and Lord, both. The one who forms your heart, directs your path, and gives you life. Bit of a challenging message, I feel, this morning. And I think we all need to go away and just ponder on whether Jesus is our teacher or he is our Lord and teacher. Challenge yourself with those questions this week. Don't just make him your teacher. Don't just make him somebody who you respect, like to listen to, but then not do what he says. Because we've sang this morning, he is Lord of all, Lord of our hearts, or words to that effect. But we can always say, he's our Lord. But then we can go around as though he isn't. Because we're not listening to him. We're not obeying him. We're walking in a different direction. We walk into our own ways. I'll put a little thing. I don't know why it came on my Facebook page, but I shared it. And it's like a fork in the road. And there's loads of people going down this path. And there's three or four going this way. And even one turns around and goes on to that one. So there's some going that way, some going this way. And the heading was, on the two signposts were, I believe in God, was full. And the other one was, I obey God. And there was very few on that path. But I thought it was a good illustration, and for this one as well. You know, we can all believe in God, but do we obey him? Do we walk in his footsteps? Do we use him as our example? And when God tells us to do things in the Bible, do we do them? Or do we just like, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. And then leave it, not do it, not follow through. All I can do this morning is encourage you to study the Word of God for yourself and allow God to speak to you as individuals, but also to make him Lord and teacher. I want to close with this prayer. And if you want to allow God to mould and shape you into the person that he wants you to be, because we're never off the potter's wheel. We're always being formed. We're always being shaped. And if it gets marred, he'll break it down and he'll put us back on. But we've got to stay supple in the hands of the Master. We've got to be in submission and obedience to him. We don't want to be doing things our way, or if we have an opinion where we think God wants us to do or be. Just listen to him, listen to his voice. And you can only do that by really studying his word and allowing him to speak through it. So if you want to say this prayer with me, that's fine. Lord Jesus, you are my potter. You are my Lord. You are my teacher. I pray that you stretch me, that you shape me, that you refine me. Teach me, Lord, to live like you. Teach me to love like you. And teach me to trust you, Lord. Like the clay trusts the potter, I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May you be blessed. May you have a good week. But really, you know, focus on God's word this week. Allow him to speak to you individually. When you read your word, don't just read it and think that's good. Obey it.